Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we're going to be looking at verse number 16 again, which says, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." And we see here, as we've been looking at this passage, where the Apostle Paul has been dealing with the issues of the nation of Israel doing everything that they can to prevent the message of the dispensation of the grace of God from going out to the Gentiles, trying to stop Paul's ministry from having the impact that it's supposed to have, trying to prevent the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what provides salvation today, trying to prevent that from having the impact that it's supposed to have. And as we've been looking at this issue of, you know, what it is that Israel's been doing, we get down here to where Paul says to fill up their sins alway. Now, that word alway, you know, since it's something that we don't actually use a lot today, there's really a lot of confusion that comes about with that word actually being used, because individuals will read that and they'll throw an S at the end of it and make it say always, and say that alway and always are the exact same thing, even though when you actually look at the two words, the definitions are slightly different, and they're slightly different in a manner which allows for the Bible to actually be consistent in what it says. Because we're going to look at a couple passages in a moment that if the two words had the exact same meaning, there would be a problem that would be there. Because when you look at the word always, it means at every time and on every occasion, where the word alway means all the time or perpetually. So when you see these words being used, and we're going to look here at a couple verses that are going to show the difference in how these words are actually being used. Let's go over to John chapter number 12 first, so we can see what John writes in his gospel here. And in John chapter number 12, we're going to read here verse number 8. And it says, "For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." So, Paul, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here that, you know, the poor individuals are always, at every time, at every occasion, are going to be there. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be there with them at every occasion, at every time. You know, now that's a different thing than what is said. And let's go over to Matthew chapter number 28. As we're seeing, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say something here as well. And in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read the very last verse of the chapter here, verse number 20, which says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." So what you have is John, you know, recording a thing, looking forward to what was going to happen at the crucifixion, and how he would not always, at every time, be there with them. Matthew, looking at it from the perspective of how that you know, even though he's not physically with them, that he's going to be with them in a manner to where they're functioning in the way that he is intending for them to have. That his ministry, the Word, the Holy Ghost is going to have an impact on what it is that they were supposed to be doing. Having the understanding that they were supposed to be, understanding that he was the Christ, understanding that they were supposed to be following the law, that they were supposed to be doing the things, that performance that was supposed to have, you know, and having that understanding has the impact even though he is not with them physically. So when we see here the Apostle Paul using this word here in our text and talking about how, we'll turn back to our text here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, to read the verse again, it says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. So when Paul's using this, he's talking about what's going to happen to those who are opposing the ministry of God, and how these unbelievers, these people of the nation of Israel who are preventing this from actually going forth and having the impact on the world, that what's going to be the result of it is that they're going to be in that issue of their sin still having an application to who they are. They have not received salvation. They are, you know, when we talk about Israel, they're still waiting for their forgiveness. So all of these things are appropriate and applicable to who Israel is. And that's why Paul can start to talk about how there's going to be wrath that's going to come upon them as a result of what it is that they're doing. Now, when we see that word wrath, we have to have an understanding that, you know, just because the word wrath is there, that there are things that show that there's multiple different wraths that the scriptures make a reference to. That there's a wrath, you know, this first one here that we're going to talk about is, it's man's wrath upon man. The opposition that man does to prevent somebody else from doing something. You know, and this is where you see, you know, men trying to prevent the members of the body of Christ from doing the things that we are supposed to do. This is something that there is no promise that the members of the body of Christ are going to be protected from this kind of wrath, because this is just the opposition of other men opposing what it is that God is doing. You know, there's also an issue of the wrath that Satan is going to have, where Satan is opposing the things of God and doing it in a manner that is attempting to prevent God's word from actually going out. We see how during this dispensation that Satan is going to have a ministry here. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 to see how it is that Satan's actually going to be functioning here. And we're going to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 13, which says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, individuals try to make it seem like that what it is that Satan's doing is trying to keep people in bad behaviors, trying to look at, you know, just keeping people away from, the things of Scripture, where the Apostle Paul very clearly is pointing out that Satan is having an appearance of righteousness. He's having a thing where he's appearing to use the Word of God to teach things that are going to be contrary to what it is that God is actually doing today. So, during the dispensation of the grace of God, it's going on right now, Satan's opposition to that would be to teach the things of Israel's program, to teach that you have to keep the law, to teach that you have to perform the things that are going, and that if a person is not doing those things, then according to what Satan would be saying, well, that person's not saved, even though the Word of God is saying that a person cannot be saved by works today. And the opposition, the wrath that comes upon individuals today is that opposition of trying to keep the things of the Word of God from going out. Now, you start to see how Paul starts to describe some things of that there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be problems that, you know, individuals are going to face during this time. But you see how, you know, the difference between the opposition from Satan today and what we're going to see if we go over to Revelation chapter number 6 and see how there's going to be some things that go on during the 70th week of Daniel that show that there's a difference in how this is applied when Israel's in focus. Because when we look here at Revelation chapter number 6, and we're going to start here at verse number 9, and it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." Now, we see an opposition that's going here to the things of the Word of God, and it going away from that idea of, well, I'm just going to teach things that are contrary to what the Word of God is saying, to the fact that during this time, individuals are actually going to be killed for their stand related to the Word of God. Now, individuals will take the whole book of Revelation and say that this is the day of the Lord, is God's wrath being poured out, when what we just read here clearly shows that there's some other things going on as well, because the individuals have died and they're asking about how long is it going to be before God avenges what has happened to them. So if God has to avenge what has happened to them, it means that God has not done this killing of these individuals. You do not see God punish people when they are doing the right things. These individuals are standing for the Word of God. They have a testimony. They're killed. God is going to avenge what's going on, which means that this is Satan and those who he has given power to. They are actually carrying out this wrath. They are doing the things that are being described here. We can go over to chapter number 12 here in the book of Revelation to see how this is going to continue to describe some things here related to this wrath that Satan's going to have during this time. And here in Revelation chapter number 12, we're going to read verse number 12, which says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So you see how the scriptures, again, make it very clear that it's Satan who's carrying out a wrath during this time and knows that he has only a very short period of time to where he's going to be able to carry out this wrath before God is going to step in. And we see how the scriptures identify the fact that God is stepping in, that God is going to do what those individuals were asked about how long is it going to be before you're avenging these things. Now we're going to see that avenging that they were looking for. If we turn back to Revelation chapter number 6, and we had looked at the fifth seal being opened, we're now going to look at the sixth seal being opened, which is actually going to describe the wrath of God that is going to be poured out upon the world. We're going to start here at verse number 12 of Revelation chapter number 6. It says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" These individuals clearly see the fact that it is God's wrath that is going to be poured out upon them at this time. This is the thing of, you see how Joel describes this in Joel chapter number 2. This is the time that Peter is making a reference to in Acts chapter number 2 when they're looking at the gift of tongues being distributed and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Peter describes how this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and lays out all those signs and tells them that these signs all have to appear before the day of the Lord can actually occur. These signs culminate here in Revelation chapter number 6 and verses 12 and 7 through 17, the opening of the sixth seal, which is actually the start of the wrath of God being poured out. This is the time when you see, let's go back over to Matthew chapter number 3 to see a description of what's being said to the Pharisees by John the Baptist here in Matthew chapter number 3 when they're coming and seeing what he's doing with his ministry here. And in Matthew chapter number 3, we're going to read here verse number 7 when it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So he's looking at them, seeing how they have failed to truly understand God's word. They've made a mockery of it by adding things unto the law. They've, you know, haven't done all those things that they were supposed to be doing. Now they're coming, and of course they're questioning what's going on here. And he's telling them, "Well, you know, why are you coming here to, you know, be partakers of this? Who has given you that warning to flee from the coming wrath?" To be able to prepare themselves to be able to escape the wrath of God from being poured out. Because you see how, if you look in Matthew chapter number 24, that when they see the Antichrist sit down in the temple, declare himself to be God, that the believing remnant of the nation of Israel, that what they are told to do is that they are to flee into the wilderness. They are to flee into the protection of God, so that way God can protect them from facing the things of his wrath. Because, you know, as we've said before, that God is not going to pour out any sort of wrath upon those who are truly following what his word actually says. You know, that's why you see we spend some time on it when we look through 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Let's go back there. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we're going to see a promise that the Apostle Paul records for us when he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 10, and it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So we, as the members of the body of Christ, are delivered from that wrath. We are protected from the wrath of God, which is going to be poured out. He says it, you know, later on in this same epistle. If we turn over to chapter number 5 of 1 Thessalonians, we see here in verse number 9, when it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see how Paul makes it very clear that we are not appointed to wrath, and the only wrath that that could truly be speaking of is God's wrath being poured out upon those who don't believe. Because the scriptures very clearly point out that the members of the body of Christ are going to face some bad things. We're told that we're going to suffer for his sake. It's pointed out there's going to be rewards that are going to come upon us for his sake, that we're going to be able to reign with him because we've suffered. We've looked at how the Apostle Paul identifies that there's a time coming for the members of the body of Christ when he says here over in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So there's things that are coming that he's identifying as suffering, as persecution. He will even use the word tribulation to describe the things that are going on with us in our life. Those are the things that come from man. Those are the things that come from the opposition of Satan and have nothing to do with the wrath of God being poured out on someone, because God has not appointed us to wrath. He cannot appoint us to wrath because his Son is in us. When he sees us, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ in us, and because of that fact, and sees his righteousness, we cannot have wrath poured out upon us from him. Now, Israel, who did not have that position, who did not have that standing, they could face the wrath of God. That's why they had all these things related to their endurance, their performance, the things that they clearly knew that they were supposed to do if they were going to be in the good standing with God. And if they weren't, that they were had a fear that something bad would happen to them. That's why you see the scriptures identify the fact that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom over in the book of Proverbs, because that is a true reality for them. They could face that wrath. We, as the members of the body of Christ, never could face that wrath. That we could never have any of those things occur to us. Now, we'll continue looking at this verse in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our services on Sunday live as they're broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything you hear in any of our other messages, or anything that you read on our website, feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from you and answer any questions that you might have. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith and keep preaching this message to this lost and dying world.